The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's love in his series, The War Is Over. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing my teaching on The War Is Over. We're now into our fourth week, and we are beginning today teaching on the fourth teaching in this five-part set on The War Is Over. Now, of course, this is talking about our CD set. There's five CDs in here, and also we have a As Seen on TV, which this is DVD, and it's actually our television programs put onto DVD, and so you can get these. We have a brand new book out entitled The War Is Over, and I am really excited over this. I think that this teaching is going to make a huge difference. You know, I just thought I have to tell people I'm excited because when I get excited, there's not much difference between when I'm not excited. But I'm telling you, I'm really excited over this, amen, and you ought to get this. We also have it in Spanish. Here is the Spanish version of this book, and then we also have a workbook. And as you can see, this is a very thick workbook. It has questions and answers, an answer key. It is specifically designed so that you can teach this in a Bible study format or a Sunday school format. And I think that this teaching on The War Is Over is just powerful. It really, for our culture, for the day that we live in, I believe it is a message of the hour. I really do, because this is just contrary to what is being taught. And of course, as I said, we're in our fourth week, and so I've already taught on this a lot. I hadn't got time to go back through it. But if you've missed this, I encourage you to get the materials. If you've watched every day, I encourage you to get the materials, because this is the kind of thing that our heart is so hardened to this. Traditions and doctrines of man have made us insensitive to these truths. And so there's a hard heart. And this has to just sit and soak in it. You need to go over and over this. Plus, having these materials is a great way of sharing this truth with other people. Especially this study guide is designed to help you share this truth with other people. And we need to get this truth out to as many people as quickly as possible, because I guarantee it's going to change people's lives. Now, the last week or so, I was teaching on Once for All was the title of the message, and it's basically talking about how that Jesus paid for all of our sins, not only up until the point of salvation, but then all of our sins, past, present, and even future sins, have all been paid for. And I was taking this teaching primarily from Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, and in those chapters, what it was doing was trying to transition the believers from a Judaism type of mentality that was based on the Old Testament law, where there were sacrifices offered over and over and over for sin, into the New Testament way of doing it, where Jesus offered one sacrifice for all sins forever and perfected us forever. Now, if you've missed any of that, you got to go back and get that teaching, because that's powerful. And in the process of making these points in the book of Hebrews, the writer constantly was going back to the Old Testament law and contrasting the way it was done then in the Old Testament versus the way that it's done in the New Testament. And I made this statement a couple of times last week that I really believe it's because we haven't renewed our mind from the Old Covenant way of doing things to the New Covenant way of doing things that this is so contradictory to what most people are hearing today. Most people are basically living under the Old Covenant. To most Christians, did you know that the only difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in their Bible is one blank page? It's just like it's an insignificant difference. But if you really study the Word, the Old Covenant was a contract. It was a way that God dealt with people. The new covenant is a new contract, and it has superseded and voided the old covenant. I know some of you think, well, now, wait a minute. We still have to observe all of these things. You know, let me go back to the book of Hebrews. Eventually, I'm headed to Romans 5. I'm not sure if I'll get over there today. But in the book of Hebrews, look at some of these statements that were said about the old covenant. This is in Hebrews chapter 7. It says in verse 18, "For there is verily," that means truly, "a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof." Did you know that those kind of statements right here, if I wasn't reading this straight from the Bible, if I was just to say that the old covenant was weak and it wasn't profitable and it has been totally disannulled, if I was to make those statements, not read it from a verse, I can guarantee you in 99% of all churches today, they would sit there and criticize me, censure me, say, "You can't say things like that," because that is not commonly believed or embraced. But here again is the verse, "For verily," that means truly. He knew that this was going to be hard to swallow. So he started off by saying, "I'm telling you the truth. There is verily a disannulling." The word disannulling is a powerful word. You know, to annul something means to void, to act as if it had never happened. For instance, if, you know, a couple gets married and then they disannul the marriage, what that means is that they have basically just said it's like it never happened. They never were married. They don't have to go through a divorce. It's like it never took place. The marriage was annulled. And when you put "dis" on the front, it's just like a superlative. It's just saying that it's even more than as if it never happened or voided. It's like it's obliterated. There's nothing to it. So there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better covenant did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. It calls the Old Testament law. It was imperfect. It didn't make anything perfect, but the new covenant did make things perfect. You know, if you can just take these words and meditate on them, you'd have to see that there is a difference between serving God under the old covenant and under the new. You don't mix the two together. You cannot mix them. They don't mix. Look at some other verses down here. Hebrews 7:28, "For the law maketh man high priest, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." And one of the major points that he's making right here is that if you change the priesthood, you've got to change the law. Because under the Old Testament law, priests could only come out of the tribe of Levi. Jesus did not come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. So he could not be a high priest if you still are trying to enforce the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law and the New Testament grace are incompatible. The Old Testament law led to and pointed men to and drove them to grace. It prophesied that the new covenant was coming that would supersede it. And all of these things, they don't contradict each other if you use the Old Testament law for what it was made for. But if you try and take the Old Testament law and mix the two together and come up with one way of seeking God by a combination of the old and the new covenant law, you can't do that. This is what Jesus was referring to when he says you can't take a new patch and put it on an old garment, because when you wash it, the new patch, as it shrinks, will tear away from the old piece of cloth that had already shrunk, and you'll make the rent worse. You can't take new wine and put it into old bottles, because old bottles have already been stretched. They become brittle. And if you put new wine in there, as it ferments and begins to expand, it'll break the bottles. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. You can't put a new patch on an old garment. You can't put the new covenant and just put it over the Old Testament law. They are incompatible. They won't work. And I know that what I'm saying just shocks some of you, but this is the reason that all the other things I've been saying are so hard to swallow, because basically the church today is living under the old covenant. They have tried to add Jesus to it and mix it together, and it's caused confusion. It's weakened the new covenant by trying to mix it with the old covenant. It's taken away from the total freedom that we have in Christ to put us back under the bondage of the Old Testament. It's made us guilty and shameful when, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, we should have no more conscience of sin. And all of this comes because people haven't properly understood the relationship between the old and the new covenant. So what I want to do is just spend a little bit of time here talking about the old covenant versus the new. Show you why the old covenant was given, that it was only a temporary way of God dealing with man. It's now been suspended, disannulled, voided, completely done away with. We have a new covenant. And they don't, it's not that the old covenant was contrary to the new. The old covenant pointed towards it, led us to it, but it certainly cannot be mixed with the new covenant. And I can share this with you from Scripture. So in Romans chapter 5, wish I had time to put all of this in its proper context, because the book of Romans is one of my favorite books. It's powerful. And he's talking about how that we are justified by faith. And so in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then in verse 13, in parentheses, it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now that is a radical statement. And this is a verse that God used to literally open up my mind. Let me just give you a little background. The things that I've been saying, if you've been watching this program and I've been talking about that all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, that God has given us unconditional love. We don't have to earn it because He's already wiped out our sin. It's just a grace gift, and that we can now have no more conscience of sin. I actually experienced this long before I understood it. I was a modern-day Pharisee, a religious legalist, and I was trying to earn the favor of God. And I had an encounter with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968, where God showed me His grace and mercy and extended love to me when I knew beyond any shadow of a doubt I didn't deserve it. And I experienced this unconditional love, mercy, and grace of God. But I couldn't get my brain wrapped around it because everything I was taught was Old Testament legalism. It was an old covenant mentality. Every time I sinned, it was a new infraction against God. And even though I'd had this experience in my heart, my head wasn't reconciled to it. And let me just say this, that you know what? Even if you've been watching these programs, and if you have had your heart touched, and man, in the heart, you are just rejoicing, and the Spirit is bearing witness, and you're saying, "This is good. It's setting me free." I can promise you this, that if you don't get your mind renewed, if you don't get your questions answered, and if you don't get to where you can explain from Scripture what you have felt in your heart, you ultimately will lose what you felt in your heart. Now, that may be discouraging to some of you, but it's just the truth. The Scripture says, Proverbs 23:7, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The way you think is ultimately going to trump and dominate everything else. And even though in your heart you may have felt an unconditional love of God, you may bear witness with what I'm saying, if you don't get your mind renewed to this, your life will ultimately go the direction of your dominant thought. That is just an absolute truth. And so, this is one of the reasons that I encourage people so much to get our materials. Because, see, you might say, "Oh, well, man, I felt this. I heard it. I embraced it. It's mine. I've got it." But then, if you don't spend time going to the Word and establishing it so that you can quote that this Scripture says this, you can answer the apparent contradictions in Scripture. If you don't do that, you will eventually lose this. You'll be sitting in a church sometime and somebody will be preaching a message and they'll come up and counter the things that you heard me say that produce so much liberty and freedom. And you're going to sit there and say, "Well, it's in the Bible and I don't." And you know what? You're going to lose it. You'll lose it. I'm just telling you that this is how it's worked with me. I've had to fight and I've had to renew my mind. And the more I take Scriptures that apparently look contradictory to the grace and the mercy that God revealed to me, and as I've studied them and found out how they fit and how that they don't contradict but they complement, every time I get a new Scripture like that and I harmonize it with the grace and the mercy of God, it makes me just that much stronger in what I'm teaching. And so the same thing's going to have to happen to you. So this is the reason that I'm teaching on the old versus the new covenant, because there are things in the old covenant that look contrary to God dealing with us by grace and mercy. But they really aren't contrary. The old covenant was a temporary way of God dealing with man, and under the old covenant, God did impute people's sins unto them. Now remember, let me go back and read this verse again in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. When there is no law, sin isn't imputed. And the law here is talking about the Ten Commandments and then all of the body of commandments that God gave the Jews. It's not limited to the Ten Commandments. It's not excluding the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the Ten Commandments. That's like the foundation. And then all of the legal system, specifically in context of what we're talking about, the sacrificial system, where every time you commit a sin, you got to offer a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for your sin. All of those things, when the law was given, God started imputing men's sins unto them. But before the law, sin wasn't imputed. And since the law has been done away with, I've used some of those scriptures over in Hebrews chapter 7, there's lots of others, now sin isn't imputed unto people where there is no law. Man, that is a powerful passage of scripture. Let me read this out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath, past tense, already been done, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then it says, to wit, that is, or in other words, it's explaining, what is a ministry of reconciliation? The word reconcile means to make friendly or bring into harmony. What is that ministry? Here it is in verse 19. To wit, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. How did he do that? How did he make us friendly with him when there was such a huge transgression on our part against God? What could ever reconcile us to God? Here it is in the 19th verse. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's the way that he reconciled us, is by not imputing our trespasses. Now remember in Romans chapter 5, verse 13, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So for Jesus not to impute our sins unto us, according to 2 Corinthians 5, 19, means that the law had to cease to be the way that God was dealing with mankind. And there's a number of scriptures over in John chapter 1. That the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it shows there that that's it. And Jesus was the end of the law for righteousness in Romans chapter 10. I believe it's around verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them who believe. And there's many scriptures. Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 9, and chapter 10. We've already used a lot of those. The law is no longer the way that God is dealing with mankind. When Jesus came, the law ceased to be the way that God was dealing with mankind, and Jesus once again began to not impute man's trespasses unto them. So take all of these things I've said and go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. So until the time of Moses, people were sinning, of course, but God wasn't imputing their sins unto them. The word impute is an accounting term. And it literally means to put on the books or to record against you. What we would talk about today is if you take a credit card, when you go to buy something, you give your credit card, you are not actually paying for that material, that product or whatever right then. What you're doing is giving them your information so that they can impute that sale to you. They put it on their books, and then they send that charge to your credit card company, and your credit card company sends you a bill, and you have to, after that fact, pay that bill. If you don't believe that, just, you know, tell somebody, says, hey, I gave them my credit card when I bought this. I've already paid for it. You tell your credit card company that when the bill comes and say, hey, I already paid for it. I'm already giving them my card. No, what you did was give them the information so they can impute it to you. And now you've got to pay that credit card statement. And if you don't, you default and you'd be subject to prosecution. See, you aren't paying for something when you use a credit card. You are giving them the information so they can impute it, put it on your account. But let's say that they never did record that information. Like I remember one time in Dallas, Texas, I held a meeting at a place, and the woman who handled our account, she had our credit card number, and she was going to record it, but she got fired, and she never did file the thing. And like 6 months after, we never had gotten a bill. And I finally contacted the hotel that we had used and said, you know, we've never been charged. It was like a $3,500 bill. And they researched it, found out what happened, and you know what? They imputed it unto us, and all of a sudden we got a bill. And instead of giving me any mercy, I'm the one that brought this to their account. I was being honest. They immediately said we were 6 months overdue on paying our bill. I thought that was kind of rotten. But anyway, it's an illustration. See that if you give them your card, but if they didn't record it, well, then it never gets imputed unto you. So when it says that men were sinning, but sin is not imputed where there is no law, it doesn't mean that there was no sin before the law. It means that God wasn't recording that sin. He wasn't holding that sin against people. But when the law came, God began to hold sin. You know, in the context of this whole teaching that I've been doing, basically, here's what happened when the law was given. The law was a declaration of war. The law was to say, all right, you're a sinner. You have rebelled against me. And because of this, here's what I'm going to do. And it began to start prescribing punishments, judgment, wrath upon people. And the law was a ministry of wrath. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. It was a ministration of death. And it was against us. And Jesus has come and taken that away. And we are now not under that law. And so therefore, we do not have to have the guilt and the condemnation. That's what I'm beginning to explain. I'm going to go back and say this in a lot more detail. But for me, this was a major, major way of reconciling what I had been taught under the law with the new covenant. Because I began to recognize that the law imputed man's sins unto us, but Jesus came not imputing man's sins unto us. 2 Corinthians 5:19. So Jesus came not under the law. Jesus came bringing in a better covenant that wasn't law. And if you are going to walk in the new covenant and receive the benefits, like Hebrews 10:2, where it says that you should have no more conscience of sin, to do that, you have got to get out from under the law mentality. You got to change your way of thinking. And some people think, well, I'm not under the law. I don't offer animal sacrifices and observe the Jewish feast. Well, you know what? Most people have changed vehicles, but they're headed down the same road. It's got the same destination. It's still, I've got to do this and this and this to earn God's blessing. That's law, regardless of whether it's Jewish feast and sacrifices or whether it's just your religious observances. I'm going to be explaining this a lot more, and I think it'll help you. So I encourage you to join me again tomorrow for our Gospel Truth broadcast. And listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get all of these products, including my new books on The War Is Over.
The War Is Over is available for the very first time in book form. In 190 power-packed pages, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's unconditional love. This new book can be ordered through bookstores nationwide, or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T326 when you write or call, or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. The War Is Over Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T426 when you contact the ministry. This teaching is also available in a five-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1053C or DVD album T1053D. The fourth teaching in the audio CD album titled Old Versus New, is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK131 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries of Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I mentioned on our program today about our website, that you can go there and watch our programs. You could go back and watch this entire series on The War Is Over. And we have over 2,000 programs on there that you can watch. Also radio programs. I have around 400 of my teachings that are free downloads. They're free to you. You can go there. My website is one of the most user-friendly and, of course, free websites that you'll ever find, where you can get all of these materials to help you in your spiritual growth. And I know it'd be a blessing to you. So we've got the web address on the screen. I encourage you to go there and visit us today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's book, Discover the Keys to Staying Full of God, is available in bookstores nationwide, or you can order your copy today for a gift of any amount to the work of this ministry.